Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thomas Mapfumo, the Lion of Zimbabwe, has for 25 years been a defiant social, political, and most of all, musical commentator for the poor and oppressed of Zimbabwe. In the 1970s, Mapfumo's Chimurenga music aroused revolutionary fire among Zimbabweans in their fight for independence. Since independence, the Lion has roared against the government corruption, poverty, and disease that have ravaged his country. In this song, Mambembe, Mapfumo describes the current state of his country as a shirt in tatters. Throughout his musical life, Thomas Mapfumo has been jailed, threatened, censored, and even labeled a terrorist. But nothing has stopped Mapfumo and his band Blacks Unlimited from speaking out and singing out about Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe, government corruption, and poverty in his homeland. He named his music Chimurenga. Chimurenga means the struggle, and it blends the ancient sound of Mapfumo's Shona people with contemporary instruments to deliver fierce social and political messages. Tonight, we're talking about the past, present, and future of Zimbabwe politics and culture, and how one musician has responded for the last 22 years. You can join the conversation by calling 1-800-423-TALK. That's 1-800-423-8255. In the studio with us right now, good evening and welcome, Thomas Mapfumo.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you with us. We know that you're actually performing later tonight at the House of Blues in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Oh, yes.
Thanks a lot for stopping by before the show.
Thank you.
Thomas Mapfumo, you were the musical soul of Zimbabwe's independence struggle when it was still Rhodesia against British rule. Now you can't even live in Zimbabwe. Why not?
Well, I'm living in America at the moment. My family is in America. I brought my family to America, especially my children, for education. They are going to school in Oregon, Eugene. And also, I did that for their safety.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, there are a lot of, problems that our people in Zimbabwe are facing today. Like, the political situation is really, really very, very, very bad. And that's the reason why I actually brought my children to America.
We're going to talk some more about that, but we want to understand it in the context of your music, Thomas Mapfumo. And one of the distinctive things, and I guess it was even a political aspect of your music, was that when you really began to crank it up, you brought the mbira sound into your music. Can you tell us about that? What's the mbira, and what was the importance of it for you and Zimbabwe?
The mbira instrument is a traditional instrument. This instrument is associated with our ancestors, and it is a spiritual instrument, actually.
Spiritual?
Yeah, it's spiritual. When I say spiritual, because some of our people back home are possessed by the spirits of their ancestors. And this kind of instrument is the, the one they use, to play their music.
Now, it's a very simple instrument. It's a wooden back with kind of metal prongs that can be plucked?
Yes.
Or thrummed, I guess?
Yes. Some people call it, thumb piano.
Thumb piano, yes.
That's right. Well, it hasn't got so many keys, but, we are actually trying to add more keys to it.
We've got a cut called Chisi that I think that opens up with Mbira, the instrument Mbira highlighted. Let's take a listen. Chisi.
Okay.
Chisi from Thomas Mapfumo's Chimurenga Explosion CD, and opening up with that very simple, and as you say, it's got a very old, even ancient sound to it. What's the spiritual connection? Is this a part of rituals, or simply...
It's part of rituals.
To bring out prayer, to bring out visions?
That's right. It's like the link between those who died long time ago and the living.
Was it a new thing in popular music in your lifetime for this ancient instrument to be highlighted?
That's very true. Because in old days, this type of music was not allowed to be recorded or to be put on record. It was illegal for anyone to do that.
Who prohibited that? Was it the British colonial?
No, it's not the British colonial, but the ancestors.
Because it was so sacred that it should not be captured on a recording.
That's very true.
Now, that's interesting. So you're a rebel in many directions. You were not only opposed to British rule, you were opposed to the elders of your own Shona community.
It's not like that.
Okay.
But, what I did was to, sort of put this type of music on the world map.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also for the good of, those ancestors, for the world to know about our Shona culture.
Sure.
Really, I actually had to do something about it, to popularize the instrument itself, the mbira, and also made sure that people out there understand that this is only an instrument,
yeah,
and it can play so many types of music.
And in our lifetimes, if an instrument is not recorded, it ceases to be a vital instrument, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's very true.
You spoke about the Shona culture. Explain for those of us who don't know the Zimbabwean culture so well. Is that one people within Zimbabwe? Is it most people within Zimbabwe? Is it an ethnic group? Or?
Yeah, Shona. The Shona people are the majority in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Ndebeles. And we have the Karangas,
mm-hmm,
the Karangas, the Manyika, and the rest of them. They come under this. They come under the Shona,
mm-hmm,
but the Ndebeles, they actually migrated from South Africa.
All right,
but they are our people. Because when they came from South Africa, they occupied a part of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And today, they are our people.
The world is full of history of peoples migrating.
That's right.
There was a great white migration into what was then Rhodesia.
That's right.
In your youth, there was the popular uprising against that.
Okay.
And you were a great supporter of the leadership of Robert Mugabe at that time. Tell us about your role and your position musically during those days of struggle for independence under the leadership of Robert Mugabe.
To be specific, I wasn't, a supporter of Robert Mugabe as such. I was supporting the struggle.
But wasn't he the lead figure in that struggle?
He was, but then I wasn't supporting him as a leader.
Uh-huh.
I was supporting the people,
uh-huh.
the struggle, the people who were actually oppressed, and the people who were struggling.
We absolutely grant you that. But part of what's interesting here is life is long.
That's right.
Circumstances change. People change.
That's right.
Perhaps Robert Mugabe has changed. Right now, he's getting an awful lot of criticism.
That's right.
And we want to. We would love to explore it from your perspective. There must have been a time at which you thought, "I'm glad this guy is here."
He was one of those people that I supported. During those days.
Sure. Who wouldn't? He was the lead man in the independence movement.
That's very true. That's very true.
Did you see your music as part of the struggle for independence?
Oh yeah. My music, played a very, very important role during the struggle, and I was jailed for this type of music. Well, I wasn't actually worried about myself going to detention for this type of music, because I was one of the oppressed,
mm-hmm.
and I thought my music could play a very, very important role by helping to liberate the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What we're hearing behind us right now is a song, I won't try the pronunciation, the translation is Be Ashamed, from the CD Shumba, Vital Hits of Zimbabwe. This is an example of expressing the feeling of the people of Zimbabwe right after liberation.
That's right.
Praise and thanks explicitly for Mugabe.
Okay.
And telling those who don't accept the liberation to, hey, be ashamed and get out. We don't need you. We're free now.
Yeah, that is very true. That's the meaning of the whole song.
Think back to the time when you wrote this song, you were first performing it. What were you expecting for the era of independence in Zimbabwe? Thomas Mfumo.
Well, I was expecting a lot of, changes mm-hmm. to happen in that country.
Mm.
Expecting our people to live a good life
mm-hmm.
after independence.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not to be at all. The situation, just got worse and worse. Today, people are still suffering. It's like in the old days when people were fighting for their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And today they are doing the same thing. The struggle is not over. They are still struggling. They have to fight another war.
We want to put ourselves as much as we can inside your skin on this. How does it feel to have fought for one liberation and then find it's not enough?
Well, when you are a freedom fighter, really, you don't get tired. You keep on fighting until you get the real thing, the real freedom that you would have fought for.
But it must be frustrating. You think if we can just toss out the British, there's a golden sunrise on the other side,
mm-hmm.
and the other side comes and it's so imperfect. And this time, it's not the other. It's not the foreigner. It's not the imperialist. It's your own people. That must be hard to come to terms with.
That's very true. But at the same time, if you look at the whole situation, it's like people have to unite again, like before,
mm-hmm.
and actually do away with this evil system which is there today. There's no difference between Rhodesia and Zimbabwe, which is there today.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard a big statement from Thomas Mfumo, the Lion of Zimbabwe. He's a powerful political and social commentator in that country, was at the forefront of the independence movement when they tossed out the British. He's been called the arts, culture, and literature man of the century in Zimbabwe. His latest American release CD is called Chimarenga Explosion. Translation, Struggle Explosion. We're talking with Thomas Mfumo tonight. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with the Lion of Zimbabwe, Thomas Mapfumo. In 1989, when he released the song Corruption, fellow citizens accused Thomas Mapfumo of dividing the country. Here's his song, Corruption.
If you can't give away, in the streets there's corruption, in private company there's corruption, everywhere there's corruption. Some of us are corruption.
The 1989 song Corruption by our guest tonight, Thomas Mapfumo. Thomas Mapfumo, we're so happy to have you in the studio. When that song came out, it was banned from radio play in Zimbabwe, as I understand. Is that right?
That's right.
But here you are, a kind of national musical hero. What had changed between the time of independence and 1989 that left your music being banned on Zimbabwe's own radio system?
As you know, like I said before, that, you know, when you are a freedom fighter, you don't have actually to back the wrong horse or support, I mean, the wrong system. You have to be genuine. If you are a freedom fighter, you really got to fight for the freedom. And you stand for the people. You are a man of the people. So what I'm doing today is the same thing that I actually did during Rhodesia. I don't care whether it's a black government or a white government or a yellow government. I support the right thing at the right time. And I'm talking of, I mean, democracy.
Mm.
Yes, people should be seen, I mean, enjoying the freedom that they fought for, the freedom that they struggled for.
Mm.
But that's not the case. I mean, with Zimbabwe today, it's a different situation. It's like we are in the old days of Ian Douglas-Smith, the Rhodesian Prime Minister.
The white Rhodesian Prime Minister.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. You have never been a musician who minced words. You're talking in corruption about, see, corruption is like a disease that plagues the whole world. There are many leaders and many others with power who are misleading the people.
That's very true.
That's the kind of lyric guaranteed to get you in trouble.
Hell yeah.
But I see you never backed away from it. We're talking tonight with Thomas Mapfumo, the Lion of Zimbabwe, the great musician who blended traditional Zimbabwean instruments, including the mbiru, with Western instruments, popular Western instruments of popular music. We're also joined right now by Banning Air, who has joined Thomas Mapfumo in some of the recordings that he's done, as I understand. Am I right, Banning?
That's right, yes.
And talk to us, this scene well. Give us a sense of Thomas Mapfumo's place in African music, in Zimbabwean music.
Well, I think Thomas Mapfumo is really one of the great figures in African music in the last century, in the whole modern period. Not that many popular singers in Zimbabwe, I mean, in all of Africa, have really been willing to stick to their principles and challenge the powerful. Because a lot of African music is about praising the powerful.
Hmm.
And this is a very striking thing. I mean, you have Fela Kuti in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. You have some other examples. But Thomas's his willingness to be confrontational to powerful people, and not just for the sake of it, but with real principle, is remarkable. But there are many other things, too. He's remarkable as a band leader. He's remarkable as a musical concept creator, as a reviver of traditional culture and recreating it in modern guise. There's so many things about him that really stand out.
Thomas Mapfumo, describe your band for us. It's a big band, 11 man or person band.
Yeah.
All men?
Come on,
you can admit it.
There are women in a band. We have female backing vocals, vocalists. We have on the brass section.
Mm-hmm.
We have the bass guitar, the lead guitar, and the two mbira players.
Yes.
The conga player, he also plays the keyboards. There are so many of us in this band. But, it's hard to come by musicians who can play this type of music very well. There are very few in our country. Musicians who can play Chimrenga music the way I feel is the right way. Because this is pure, Zimbabwean type of music.
Mm-hmm.
And my style is, typical Zimbabwean.
Is it hard these days to get an 11-man band to the United States to tour, to perform? Do they all live here, or do some of you have to come over for the tour?
It is very expensive, you know. The airfares are too high today.
And do most of the band members actually live most of the time in Zimbabwe even now?
Yes, they live in Zimbabwe.
Now, what's your instrument? Do you play the mbira or something else, or are you the singer?
Well, I play a little bit of guitar when I'm working on my songs,
right.
But on the stage, I'm just a free man. I just do the singing.
Always the free man, Thomas Mapfumo. Banning Air, you're a guitarist, and I think you've played in with the band, the Blacks Unlimited, in some settings. I don't know exactly what that history is.
Well, I met Thomas in 1987, mm-hmm. actually shortly before he recorded Corruption. I was there doing research for the radio program Afropop Worldwide.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I was also writing about guitar players and African guitar players for Guitar Player magazine. And I was absolutely fascinated by the way the guitarists in the Blacks Unlimited, Thomas's band, have reinvented the guitar to first mimic the sound of the mbira, and then once the mbiras were brought into the band, because the early band didn't have mbiras, the guitarists played mbira parts, and that
All
was
right.
part of Thomas's inspiration, was in kind of creating the environment where that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then once the mbiras were there, he was encouraging them to now take that and go further and play like a guitar, but with real knowledge of the way the mbira melodies work. And that, I fell in love with that, and I had the privilege to know some of the great guitarists who've been in this band who unfortunately have passed away. And I've gone to Zimbabwe 3 times and known them many times on tour here. And after a while, we started playing together, and many things have sort of happened over the years.
We want to listen to some more music here. There's a great song called Who Has Destroyed Our Home from the CD Chimarenga 98. Let's listen. And Thomas Mapfumo, tell us about this song.
This song actually was he started it.
Banning Air was
yeah. Mm-hmm.
He created this one together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It's a song that he brought actually to me. He was playing the instrumental part of it,
mm-hmm.
and I did was to add some lyrics to them. To his tune.
It asks, who's responsible for the destruction of our home, our country, our wealth, our race? When the wealth is gone and we've lost our cultural values, we have nothing to identify ourselves with. These are tough lyrics. Again, let's listen.
Okay.
has destroyed our home. It sounds sweet, but the lyrics are tough. We will be stranded like people whose home has been destroyed. With these elements gone, our heritage is no more. This is being likened to the destruction of the nation. Thomas Mutfumo, when did you write this song? Mid-90s? Or with Bannon
98,
here?
98.
Yeah, so it's pretty recent.
Yeah, sure.
So we have all heard in the last couple of years about the big move by Robert Mugabe to throw white farmers, I guess, off of their large farms left over from the pre-liberation days.
Okay.
And for Zimbabweans then to move in and live there.
Uh-huh.
And we're imagining that this might make a pretty tough call for you. Your music is, it's music for the people. It's popular music.
No, that's right.
It may be the music of the people who are moving on to those big farms that have been seized.
Mm-hmm.
So where does that leave you standing on this issue, Thomas Mutfumo?
Well, this thing hasn't been done in a proper manner. Those farmers... Who are being harassed.
Harassed, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
They are citizens of Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. White citizens.
Yes, white citizens. They were born there.
Mm-hmm.
They were brought up there. They don't have any other country to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So they are Zimbabweans. And taking away the land from them, Mugabe is inviting hunger.
Because it won't, you don't think it will be as productive.
That's true. That's true. Because that land is being given to just any Jack and Jill, people who don't have a know-how of how to till the land.
And yet it must be painful. You must hear something in Robert Mugabe's argument. He says these large farms in the hands of white farmers are left over, are a legacy of the colonial period. And if we leave them there, it's unfair. It's an injustice.
No,
is there anything reasonable in that, in your ear, in your heart?
No, there's nothing reasonable about that. What he's trying to, what he's doing now is trying to drum up, support. Because there is a strong opposition party that is opposing him.
In the upcoming elections.
That's right. Mm-hmm. This is the reason why he's, pretending to be like he's, he wants to give the land to the people. Just wait and see. If Mugabe is going to win the elections...
Mm.
You know, that program is going to be to be scrapped off.
They'll stop seizing farms right away.
I'm telling you, that is exactly that is what is.
So you see it
going to happen.
A very cynical grandstand.
Yeah, it's just a gimmick. He's trying, to drum up support and try and discredit the opposition party.
Mm.
That's true.
Let's listen a little more. There's a song called Chamunorwa.
Chamunorwa.
If I've got that right. What are we fighting for?
Uh-huh.
And it's a song where the lyric seems to be asking, what's the use of fighting anymore?
Yeah.
Have I got that right?
Yeah, sure.
When we look at the history of Africa in recent decades and how hard it's been, and then AIDS comes in on top of everything else, people are dying in such large numbers, the debt, the poverty... are there times when you look at this continent and say, my God, how is it ever going to rise up?
Sure. When you look at the situation in Africa, you start, to wonder, when are Africans going to get their peace? When is there going to be peace in Africa?
Mm.
There have been useless wars. You name certain countries like the Congo, where our soldiers have been fighting. Places like Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
There are problems all over Africa.
Mm.
And these people, these leaders, these African leaders have to grow up and, start realizing that they are the leaders of the people.
Mm.
They are not the leaders of themselves.
Not just themselves, yeah, not their mansions, not the Swiss bank accounts.
Yeah, that's right. Because
you know, I've traveled through Somalia and Rwanda, the Congo, and seen a kind of, on the one hand, tremendous strength, because people are living in impossible circumstances.
That's very
and
true.
Your admiration has to be so deep. On the other hand, there's a kind of resignation you can feel in many settings there. Just not much hope of ever getting out of this tough, tough life.
That's very, very true. There's no progress in Africa. It's like, things are dragging. And, the leaderships are not, doing enough, to better the lives of, their citizens.
When you see that, and then you look at the tremendous wealth in the United States, in Europe, and other parts of the world, how do you feel? You're an honest man. Do you feel angry? Do you feel this wealth should be redivided? This wealth should be taken to Africa? Is that a solution?
That's not the solution. African people should, be united and work, for the prosperity of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They actually should come together and work as a nation. We are all Africans. If you look at what is happening today in Africa, it's unthinkable. Because everyone wants to be himself. Those who are in Zambia, they want to be Zambians. Those who are in Nigeria, they want to be Nigerians. In Zimbabwe, they want to be Zimbabweans. Why don't we come together and come up with a united Africa?
Something that worked better. We didn't have to fight nation between nation.
That's very true.
Thomas Mapfumo asks the tough questions. We're coming up on another break. Let's listen to your song, Varumbo Kovarumbo, if I've got that something like correct. Poor to the poor.
That's right.
It talks about the suffering of the poor who plead for the wealth of the land to be shared equally among all the people, while meanwhile the rich enjoy all the fruits.
Oh, yeah.
Thomas Mapfumo's Varumbo Kovarumbo. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let's listen. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with musician Thomas Mapfumo. Let's listen to Disaster, another song banned in Thomas Mapfumo's home country, Zimbabwe. Here's the song, Disaster. Disaster from Thomas Mapfumo's CD Chimurenga Explosion, Struggle Explosion, and is talking about economic disaster in his homeland, Zimbabwe. Thomas Mapfumo, we see in the news right now all kinds of reports. People can't buy porridge, they can't buy cooking oil, they can't get sugar, inflation is 100%. It's a tough life, 75% of the country in poverty to begin with, and then that on top of it. What's the root cause of that?
The root cause is because of, their It's because they are harassing the farmers.
So you really think it goes back to that? Because the farmers are being driven off the land, they can't produce the crops.
I've been there recently. They're not working on the farms.
So the land is just lying fallow sometimes.
Yes.
That can't be good. And here, another song that was banned from radio play in Zimbabwe.
That's right.
What happens when one of your songs is banned? Do people still get to hear it somehow? Is there an underground in tapes, in CDs?
Well. Actually, when they banned some of my music, I enjoy it and I rejoice.
Now, why is that exactly?
It's because the people would like to know why the music is being banned from being played on the radio. Well, if you happen to ban something, there must be something wrong with you.
And something right with the music.
Yeah, that's right.
New album, not even in the U.S. yet, that's already been banned, is that right?
Yeah, sure.
What's it called?
Chimurenga Rebel.
Chimurenga Rebel this
time. That's right.
Banning Air, it's good to have you with us. Also, you've written a book called Playing with Fire, Fear and Self-Censorship in Zimbabwean Music. What's the general picture there? Is stuff being banned right and left, or is Thomas Mpfumo sitting here with us, the lone, brave rebel?
Well, it's pretty complicated. That report is actually written for a human rights organization called Free Muse, and they sent me there last year to investigate reports of bannings. But the thing is that banning is a somewhat misleading word here.
All right.
Because they don't actually issue edicts and say, this song is banned, you can't play it. The thing is that they have such control over everything. State media is everything is state-run. You cannot broadcast except from Zimbabwe Broadcasting.
So the DJ just won't put it on.
Yeah, and there were DJs that talked to me in the report who said, oh, yeah, I played it. It wasn't banned. You know, so you get this kind of counterspin. But Thomas will tell you, because he has some fresh information on this. But basically, it's done through subtle means. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of intimidation. And people just know what they shouldn't play. And it becomes not a matter of it's announced in the paper this song is banned. It's more the case of the dog that didn't bark. You know, why aren't we hearing this song?
Thomas Mpfumo, how does that intimidation work?
No, it's not going to work because, you know, the more you intimidate people, I mean, the more they get stronger.
And yet, for now, there's a lot of music that's not on the airwaves of that intimidation.
That's very true. It's the DJs have been told.
Are they threatened that they'll lose their jobs?
Yeah, by the Minister of Information, Jonathan Moyo. He's the one who is doing all the propaganda.
There's an election coming up.
Uh-huh.
Do you see any chance that Robert Mugabe will lose that election, given the way it's been set up?
Well, if people go out in their big numbers to vote him out of power, he's likely to lose.
And do you think he would accept that loss and actually surrender power?
If it's the decision by the people, what else is he going to do? If the people would have, made up their minds and say they don't want him anymore, he can't do nothing. Though I know he won't just take it, lying down. Mm-hmm. He's going to, try and, make a lot of, trouble.
Sure.
Yes.
What can Americans do? Is there anything that people abroad can do that would be helpful to Zimbabwe?
Sure, America is a superpower. They should be seen, helping the people in Zimbabwe. They should be doing something.
What?
They should help and, they have a right to talk to Mugabe and, ask him to stop what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Lean on him.
Yeah.
And economic aid?
Well, you see, I don't know really what to say about Zimbabwe because the economy of the country is really in shambles, and whoever is going to take over from him, it's going to take him a long, long time before he puts everything back to the. On the right course.
So the way you'd like to see it.
Yeah, sure.
Thomas Mpfumo, our time's run out. It's been great to have you tonight. And also Banning Air, great. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
We're going out on a song called Set the People Free. Thomas Mupfumo and the Blacks Unlimited will be performing tonight at the House of Blues in Cambridge, Massachusetts, if you're in the area, tonight and tomorrow night at 10. To learn more about Thomas Mupfumo, visit our website at onpointradio.org. Thanks to you both for being with us tonight.
Thanks so much.
In a moment, I'll be joined by On Point News analyst Jack Beatty. But first, sounds from this past week.
Israel demonstrating less and less restraint. Perhaps the shape of things to come.
A U.S. military recovery team has returned from the site of last Monday's CIA missile strike near Zawar Kili with evidence the Pentagon says supports the spy agency's claim it attacked and killed the right people.
I have been instructed by my counsel not to testify based on my Fifth Amendment constitutional rights. I am deeply troubled about asserting these rights, because it may be perceived by some that I have something to hide.
I do believe that Mr. Skilling and Mr. Fastow, along with two very well-respected firms, did dupe Ken Lay and the board.
Accused Taliban soldier John Walker Lynn quietly and politely pleading not guilty to terrorism and conspiracy charges.
I think that statement was clear enough for Iraq to hear me, and I will reserve whatever options I have, I'll keep them close to my vest.
We reject terrorism in all its forms and manifestations anywhere in the world. We will continue to fulfill our responsibilities flowing from our commitment.
The addiction to soft money, all of us will be okay without it. We can find ways to pay for our golf tournaments. We can find ways to pay for our resort visits. We can
find ways to pay for
the population from Kosovo was expelled by the KLA because they ordered people to do so. They beat them and they killed them. That was number one. Number two, NATO through their airstrikes. That is the truth behind your story.
Now under wraps as it's ferried away, the Merkava 3 tank, which Israel parades as the world's best protected tank. It was split asunder by the force of the blast. Israel anxious this may be a sign of things to come.
We received an official proposal from the International Skating Union to award the gold medal to Sale and Peltier. The executive board of the IOC agreed, and a gold medal will be awarded to the Canadian pair.
The football match was supposed to be about peace, reconciliation, and hopes for the future in Afghanistan. But before it began, a near riot broke out as thousands of fans without tickets tried to get into the stadium. Earlier at Kabul airport, simmering tension erupted into violent murder. The Afghan aviation minister was dragged from this plane and beaten to death.
Jack Beatty, welcome. There it is. Too much to recount in detail, but you know the Chinese curse may you live in interesting times. I think we've arrived there.
Oh, yeah. What a laden week. Historic for campaign finance reform, the Shays Meehan bill banning soft money from politics. Quite an achievement.
Voting all night and in the end pulling it out,
and a lot of thanks to the 41 Republicans who bucked their leadership and supported it. And to President Bush, the Times today, Times editorial page, tips its hat to him for not pressuring members to vote against it. And there's some evidence that actually the White House helped the bill pass. Ari Fleischer put out a statement saying the day of the vote that the president thought the bill would improve campaign finance, and proponents of the bill quickly faxed that to everybody, and it looked as if it may have, who knows whether it helped, but it certainly didn't hurt.
So a big cheer goes up, but it's not necessarily a simple story, is it?
Not a simple story at all, and now we're having some of the unintended consequences already being analyzed. A study from Michael Malbin of the New Campaign Finance Institute in Washington, bipartisan, nonpartisan group, finds that the big winner of all this is George W. Bush.
How so?
Well, when he ran for president in 2000, 60-some-odd thousand people gave him $1,000 each in hard money contributions. Well, to get soft money eliminated, they had to double the amount of hard money that individuals can contribute. So now those 63,000 people are going to give him $2,000 apiece. But, of course, it's going to be many, many more than 63,000 people.
So if you've got a lot of rich friends with hard money in their pockets, they can give it to you.
They can give it to you. But meanwhile, the Democrats are going to be in a tough bind because, first of all, they're going to have primaries, and they will tap, and they're all going to be taking federal matching funds, and they will quickly tap out of those by mid-March of 2004, and they'll have to wait until August in the convention before getting more funds. Meanwhile, and in the past, they relied on soft money to get them over that bridge, to get ads on television and so on. They won't be able to do that, and the president will have 5 months of uninterrupted TV all to himself.
So unintended consequences. But Jack, didn't you feel a little bit of satisfaction in rocking the Capitol Hill Kaspa there a little bit this week? They finally, after all these years of putting off campaign finance reform, whatever the nuances may be, the sense was there. It had to be done.
Yeah, Zach Wamp, a Tennessee Republican, said, people who say that money is speech need to understand that if that's true, there are a lot of people in this country who can't be heard. Money is not speech.
George Bush was talking this week about his own plan for the environment, and it's a far cry from what was laid out in Kyoto.
It sure is, and of course we are the only country in the world, a major country, not to accept the Kyoto Protocols. This is a voluntary plan to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and of course, and it's been called by Senator Kerry of Massachusetts pure fantasy because on that voluntary basis, and of course it's going to operate through Bush's favorite modus, which is to give tax breaks to energy companies. And there's some evidence that energy companies helped shape it. The Electric Institute helped write the plan. And executives of ExxonMobil told the London Guardian or the London Financial Times a couple of weeks ago, we've had a hand in this, and we're going to be very happy with what comes out. And sure enough, they are very happy with what's come out, especially the voluntary aspects.
Do we hear the sound of ice caps breaking up on the polls, Jack?
Well, yeah. I mean, this doesn't seem to do anything about that. And the president says, well, if after 2012 things aren't working with the voluntary controls, well, we may have to do something else because he's not going to be in office then.
And Jack, very quickly, a tank destroyed in Israel, that's a new thing.
That really is, and symbolically, it's, first it was pizza parlors, then city streets, houses, and now a tank. The Jerusalem Post say the tank's reputation of invincibility has now been shattered, and the conflict appears more like Lebanon. Very shaking experience for Israelis.
Jack, have a great weekend. Thanks for being
too.
With us. On Point is produced by Kim Bishari, Micheline Boudreau, Meghna Chakrabarty, Nate DeMeo, Eileen Amata, John Roberts, James Ross, Keith Shields, and Karen Schiffman, with help from Michelle Kearns, Isabella Tavarovsky, and Laura Tanguso. Our senior producer is Graham Griffith. On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.